Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Arjun Half Year 2015 Financial Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Wednesday, the 26th of August, 2015. If you require technical support at any time, please press star and zero on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Jorge Komrein. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. A press release with the company's half year 2015 financial results became available yesterday at 5:00 P.M. Central European Time and can be found also on our news and events section on our company's website. Before we start, I would like to go to slide two and remind you that during this teleconference, you may be presented with forward-looking statements. These may include statements about our future expectations, clinical development, regulatory timelines, the potential success of our product candidates, financial projections, and upcoming milestones. Actual results may differ materially from these indicated by these statements. Argenx is not under any obligation to update statements regarding the future or to conform those statements in relation to actual results unless this is required by law. I'm joined on the call today by Tim van Hauwermeiren, CEO of Argenx, and Eric Castaldi, CFO. On slide three, you will see a brief agenda for the call of today. Tim will give an introduction of our corporate highlights and business strategy, and then we'll walk through the operational side of our business, including our pipeline programs and our ongoing partnerships. He will also lay out some key milestones which we expect to happen before the end of the year. Eric will provide the financial results for the half year 2015 before some closing remarks by Tim, and then you will get the opportunity to ask questions. For now, I would like to turn the call over to Tim van Hauwermeiren.
Thank you, Jorge, and good afternoon, everybody. We have had a very productive first half of 2015 here at Argenx, working hard to progress our partnerships and our pipeline and laying out a development plan for the next 6 to 12 months. We're very excited to fill you in on achievements from the first half of the year, but would also like to devote a significant portion of time to talking about some of our earlier stage assets, which many of you may be less familiar with. Before we do that, I'd like to walk you through slide number four. Here is a brief synopsis of who we are and what we believe to be the key differentiating points of Argenx. First of all, we specialize in therapeutic antibodies. More specifically, we specialize in the creation and development of highly differentiated antibody therapeutics for the treatment of cancer and severe autoimmune diseases. We target novel pathways through antibody products which exhibit multiple modes of action. We intend to take these products to clinical proof of concept in orphan indications and to seek out partnering for the larger indications. We create value for our shareholders through the development of our own proprietary product portfolio and through our strategic alliances with premier pharma partners. Our pipeline is rich with promise as we have two early-stage oncology assets in the clinic, Argenx-110 and Argenx-111, both with proven safety profiles and demonstrated biological activity in terminally ill cancer patients. We also have two assets with very novel mechanisms in preclinical development, Argenx-113 and Argenx-115. Pharma partnerships are a very important element of our value creation strategy, and we have several in place with opportunities to expand them further. Our strategic alliances provide us with significant non-dilutive income and product rights and are typically expanded on the back of success. Our deals start with a focused objective, leading companies who have a strategic need to access a cutting-edge antibody creation platform. We offer our unique antibody platform to those companies to access a limited set of previously unattainable or novel targets, and based on these successes, our partnerships have expanded into longer-term strategic alliances. After careful due diligence, for example, Leo and Shire selected argenx as their preferred antibody partner of choice. The key differentiators of the argenx story are fueled by a highly productive, cutting-edge technology suite led by our Simple Antibody platform. We source the V regions of our antibodies from the llama immune system, which harbors two key surprises in the V regions of their conventional antibodies. Firstly, these V regions are fully human, both in terms of sequence and structure. Secondly, the llama, upon immunization with a human disease target of interest, yields an unprecedented diversity of functionally active, ultra-potent antibodies, even against the most complex and challenging antibody targets. Once we have optimal V regions, we simply assemble them together with fully human constant domains and then apply one or more of our proprietary Fc engineering technologies. Our Fc engineering technologies consist of ENHANZE, boosting half-life in circulation and tissue penetration, PATELLIGENT to enhance the cell-killing properties of our antibodies, and ABDAC to equip our antibody with the unique ability to actively clear disease targets from the circulation. All these technologies are novel and have substantial patent life. In fact, all of our products are protected by multiple layers of patents, which run until 2028, 2032, not taking any patent term extension into account. Moving now to slide five. On slide five, you see our value proposition. We aim to be the first to access novel targets with an exciting underlying disease rationale and to build significant IP around each, and to then address these targets with our cutting-edge antibody creation technologies to build maximally differentiated antibodies, often exerting multiple modes of action in one and the same molecule. We believe we are uniquely positioned to participate in drug development across various points in the value chain, including the discovery, preclinical, and clinical development stages. We're active in discovery through our alliances, our in-house discovery work, and also through our innovative access program. This program allows us to open up our technology suite to leading academic groups or highly promising biotech companies who are sitting on very attractive novel targets, yet need a world-class antibody platform to access them. Argenx-115 is our first success under our IAP program, and we intend to close more deals similar to this one going forward. We take a very disciplined approach to our pipeline, whereby we partner those assets which no longer fit the strategic focus of the company, similar to what we have been doing with Ruijin and Argenx-109, and with LEO Pharma in the preclinical stage. Our long-term vision allows us to invest in and advance several of our own products towards a major phase II value inflection point by the end of 2017. More specifically, by this time period, we expect to have phase II data for Argenx-110, Argenx-111, and Argenx-113, and Argenx-115 will be in phase I clinical trials. Alongside this internal progress, we will continue to invest in our strategic pharma alliances. Slide six shows our robust pipeline. In the blue section, you will see the wholly owned part of the pipeline, and in gray at the bottom, you see our partnered assets. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to focus our time today primarily on the preclinical assets 113 and Argenx-115. Before I get to those, I want to provide a quick update on Argenx-110 and Argenx-111. Argenx-110 is our lead program and targets CD70, a novel and exciting immune checkpoint target, which is involved across a range of liquid and solid tumors. We recently presented initial clinical observations from our phase I study in patients with T-cell lymphoma at the ICML conference in Lugano, showing clinical activity in four out of eight relapsed refractory patients. In addition, we had a high-profile publication in Science Translational Medicine reporting some of the work we're doing to unravel the biology of CD70 in leukemias. More specifically, our collaborators from the University Hospital in Bern, Switzerland, demonstrated the potential of Argenx-110 to overcome Gleevec and all other BCR-ABL inhibitors resistance in CML. We expect our next update to be at the American Society of Hematology, the ASH conference, in December, where we will present an update on the T-cell safety expansion cohort and initial preclinical data in AML. We expect to develop Argenx-110 ourselves in orphan indications and consider partnering potentially for larger indications. Moving on to Argenx-111, which is our only asset to interact with a known target, c-MET. We believe we have a best-in-class antibody product, which is being studied in a phase 1 safety expansion cohort in MET-amplified and stage cancer patients. We reported data from the dose escalation portion of the phase 1 study at ASCO this year and recently highlighted some of the key preclinical differentiators of the antibody in a cancer research publication. An update on the currently ongoing safety expansion study in MET-amplified patients is expected to take place at ASCO next year. We will most likely aim to partner Argenx-111 after we conclude the phase 1 safety expansion study. Now, to close on this pipeline slide, we have two very exciting preclinical programs I'd like to discuss in more detail. Argenx-113 is our first program targeting severe autoimmune diseases, and we are on track to enter clinical development in the form of a phase 1 healthy volunteer study before the end of the year. Argenx-115 is our newest asset targeting GARP, a novel immune checkpoint, which originated from our innovative access program. In our currently partnered programs, we expect REI to file an IND on Argenx-109 imminently and to receive payment from several preclinical milestones under our Shire, Leo, and Bayer deals. With that, I'd like to move now to slide number 7 and to talk further on our preclinical programs. First, Argenx-113. This is a first-in-class therapeutic antibody fragment with a breakthrough mechanism of action for the management of autoantibody-induced flares. A number of autoimmune diseases in both larger and orphan populations are characterized by disease flares which are mediated by a strong autoantibody component. These diseases include large indications such as lupus and multiple sclerosis, and a growing number of orphan indications such as myasthenia gravis and pemphigus. We have solid preclinical efficacy data across a number of disease models, and our GLP tox data support advancement now of the molecule into a first healthy volunteer study. The next slide explains how the drug works. In the middle of slide 8, you see a cartoon illustrating the IgG recycling pathway in our bodies. This stems from some of the seminal work performed by Sally Ward at UT Southwestern. Antibodies of the IgG type are known to have a long half-life in circulation, and the reason for this is that they are effectively recycled and salvaged from degradation through a dedicated receptor called FcRn. Now, Dr. Ward not only nicely described this principle in her Nature Biotech publication, but also patented a set of mutations in the antibody Fc region, coined ABDEC, which dramatically enhance the affinity for the antibody Fc to this Fc receptor, in effect making a strong blocker or antagonist of this pathway. As a result of this, one can see in the right-hand panel that a single administration of Argenx-113 in the cynomolgus monkey, dosed with a surrogate autoantibody, the curve in red, clears this autoantibody fast and completely, the curve in blue, whilst IVIG, the current standard of care, in black, shows a slower and incomplete clearance of this autoantibody. Now, what we like most about Argenx-113, similar to Argenx-110, is that it represents a pipeline and a product opportunity. One does not need to know the exact disease etiology of some of these severe autoimmune diseases. Pathogenic autoantibodies of the IgG type drive most of these diseases and are responsible for the disease flares, as shown in the blue curve on top of slide number 9. One could use Argenx 113 across this category of diseases to quickly eliminate high levels of autoantibodies and to put the patient back in remission. This mechanism happens much faster than the current standard of care, including plasmapheresis or IVIG. The product, therefore, has potential across a series of indications of high unmet medical need, such as lupus or MS, but also orphan indications such as MG and skin blistering diseases. An example of a therapeutic antibody which is currently being used successfully in the emergency setting would be Xolair. This product targeting IgE is currently selling more than $800 million per year and is used for the treatment of severe life-threatening allergic asthma attacks. In terms of next steps, we remain on track to submit a clinical trial authorization and to start a healthy volunteer study in the second half of 2015. Our other preclinical asset is Argenx 115, which you can see on slide 10. Argenx 115 targets GARP, a novel immune checkpoint with potential in cancer immunotherapy. What makes this target so special is that it is highly specifically upregulated on regulatory T cells, where it is responsible for the release and activation of TGF-beta. In other words, an antibody blocking GARP can very specifically modulate the activity of TGF-beta in the tumor microenvironment without touching TGF-beta activity in circulation. Now, this is exciting because the role of TGF-beta in cancer is very well known, but systemic blockade of TGF-beta is limited due to severe side effects. The company is currently progressing Argenx 115 through a set of preclinical experiments evaluating the safety and efficacy of the program and plans to initiate CMC activities before the end of the year. Argenx 115 is the poster child of the type of products we want to create as a company. It is a completely novel target where we're first in class and where we own significant target IP. We managed to leverage the power of the simple antibody platform to modulate the target activity in a unique fashion, and we're working in close collaboration with the world's leading academic group on this target. We will advance this program to clinical development as fast as we can, something we have proven we can do successfully already with Argenx 110, 11, and 13. We feel that we have a very promising asset with Argenx 113 and with Argenx 115, and that we may continue to expand our preclinical pipeline through our focus on strategic collaborations and partnerships. And with this, I will talk you through some of these in more detail on slide number 11. Slide 11 summarizes the benefits and potential of our active partnerships. As I touched on earlier, our goal for our partnerships is to grow them into long-term strategic alliances, like our partnership with Shire. Our collaboration with Shire started relatively small back in 2012, but we successfully advanced this relationship into a strategic alliance in 2014, whereby Shire obtained broad access to our suite of antibody technologies. In return, Argenx was able to benefit from this significant upfront payment and R&D collaboration commitment, as well as the potential milestone and royalty payments on products originating from this R&D collaboration, as well as product reversion rights. In fact, we have similar ambitions with our Leo and Bayer collaborations, i.e., to grow them from their current state into similar long-term strategic alliances. We also grant access to our technology to top-notch academic research centers where we have the opportunity to in-license and further develop any promising leads. To date, we have received almost $20 million in revenues from our partnerships, with the potential for this to reach a total of €1.4 billion. And with this, I would like to hand over now to our Chief Financial Officer, Eric Castaldi, for him to walk us through the financials.
Thank you, Tim. So we are on slide 12. Our historical financial results reflect principally research and development expenses and operating income. The revenue line is from upfront payments and milestone payments, and also R&D funding received under our industrial partnerships. As you can see, for the first 6 months period ended on June 30, 2015, operating income reached €4.3 million compared to €1.6 million for the same period in 2014. The higher operating income in 2015 is mainly due to increased revenue from collaborations recognized in the first half of 2015, following the start of collaboration agreement with Bayer in May 2014, a strategic alliance with Shire in June 2014, and a new alliance with Leo in May 2015. Moving to operational expenses, as you can see, the split of operational expenses corresponds for 80% to research and development expenses and for 20% to G&A expenses, which shows that we are really focusing on investing in R&D activities. Research and development expenses increased to €9.3 million for the first 6 months of 2015 compared to €4.9 million during the same period in 2014. This €4.4 million increase in 2015 results from increased clinical trial and product manufacturing activities, from the recruitment of additional R&D personnel in relation to increased R&D activities, and also from the share-based payment costs recognized in compensation for the grant of stock options to our R&D employees. G&A expenses amounted to €2.3 million on June 30, 2015, and €1.4 million at the same date in 2014. The €0.9 million increased in 2015 is principally explained by additional expenses incurred for supporting activities as a public company, such as investor relations, legal and audit fees. From also the recruitment of new employees in the first half of 2015 to strengthen our G&A activities, and here also the share-based payment costs recognized in compensation for the grant of stock options to our G&A employees. As a result, during the first 6 months of 2015, we generated a net loss of €7 million compared to a net loss of €4.6 million in the same period of 2014. At the end of June 2015, as you can see, we still had cash and cash equivalents and financial assets amounted to €50.5 million compared to €56 million at the end of 2014 and €21.1 million on June 30, 2014. If we move now to slide 13, this slide shows that so far we have been very capital efficient in managing our activities. You have here the reconciliation between our various sources of funding and our cumulative operating expenses since inception and the cash left at the end of June 2015. We have, as you know, a business model which relies heavily on outsourcing our R&D activities through external collaborations. Therefore, most of our operating expenses are variable expenses. As you can see, we have been mainly investing in R&D with a cumulative amount of €51 million since inception. Our cumulative G&A expenses are relatively low and reflect our lean and efficient structure. We currently employ a headcount of 37 people at the end of June 2015. With €50.5 million in cash, we believe that we are well capitalized to execute on our strategic plan through at least 2017, with the objective to take our product portfolio to clinical proof of concept. We will continue to focus our spending on our clinical development pipeline, and in parallel, we will continue to advance and expand the preclinical product pipeline, looking to access novel targets and technologies while we build this company. To conclude on this financial slide, in the bottom, you can see our fully diluted shareholding structure, with the historical shareholders holding a little bit more than 65% of the shares, a free float of mainly institutional investors representing 25% of the capital, and 9.5% of stock options granted to our employees, certain consultants, and our board members. And with this, I will turn back the call to Tim.
Thank you, Eric. Before we start the Q&A portion of the call, I'd like to talk through upcoming key milestones for our pipeline. For Agenix 113, we expect to have our CTA approved in time to start a healthy volunteer study during the fourth quarter of 2015. For Agenix 111, we expect to open more centers, including some in Asia, during the course of 2015. For Argenx-110, we expect to open more T-cell lymphoma expert centers in 2015, and we will have clinical updates on the T-cell lymphoma study and some of our AML data, all of which will be presented at the American Society of Hematology meeting in December. Within our partnerships, we expect to receive a milestone from Leo Pharma in the fourth quarter. As you can see, these exciting clinical milestones will all play out alongside a corporate push to be more active in the US on the investor front. And with this, I thank you for your attention, and I will turn the call back to you for your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question or make a comment, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. That's star and one if you wish to ask a question or make a comment. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. And your first question comes from the line of Ted Tenthoff from Piper Jaffray. Please ask your question.
Great. Thank you very much, and thank you for the thorough update. A lot of progress being made, especially with such a few people at Argenx. My question really has to do with sort of steps in terms of advancing the pipeline with new INDs. What do you guys need to accomplish in order to expand the pipeline?
Well, what we would like to do to expand the pipeline is come first to clinical proof of concept fast for Argenx-110 and Argenx-113. So for Argenx-110, we take a couple of shots on goal in T-cell lymphoma, in nasopharyngeal carcinoma, and we will be most likely announcing a third shot on goal soon, all on the back of strong preclinical data, but also clear signals from our clinical studies. Once we have this clear proof of concept, Ted, there is the possibility to expand the Argenx-110 program above and beyond these initial proof of concept studies, because as you know, Argenx-110 truly is a pipeline in a product opportunity, and there is more opportunity for the moment than we can handle.
Excellent. Good. Look forward to additional updates on the progress.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of David Nierengarten from Wedbush Securities. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. I had one on 115. When you think about clinical development, would you use it to treat, or do you think you would use it to treat or prevent GVHD? Thanks.
It's an interesting question. Thanks, David. Like so many immune checkpoints, this checkpoint also has a yin and a yang, so it could play in cancer, it could play in other diseases like fibrosis or autoimmune diseases. The initial proof of concept which was published in the Science Translational Medicine paper is a GVHD disease model. This company, with its current disease focus, is mainly interested for the moment in the oncology application of the program. So we will be walking through additional preclinical models and going beyond the GVHD model, but also getting into a potentially interesting combination studies, whilst in parallel, as I said, we will press the button on the CMC activities to propel the program forward towards the clinic. So clear potential both in cancer and autoimmunity, fibrosis. For the moment, focus is on cancer.
But do you think you... Yeah, I guess I'm just a... wondering or questioning whether which route would be route for faster approval, potentially GVHD as a single agent versus combination studies, which might take a little bit longer to find the right combination agent. I mean, is it too early to really answer that, or how are you thinking about that strategically on the development, first to indication to file point of view?
Well, certainly it's too early to answer the question, because we need to wrap up the preclinical data set. Remember, this is a completely novel target, so we are also going through extensive safety testing in combination with the efficacy testing. What we like about the program is the optionality. That's what we like about the portfolio, by the way, the optionality we build in there, and GARP perfectly fits. So too early to tell,
but clearly something to keep an eye on, David. So.
All right, thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Roderick Verhelst from Peter Kam. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. First is on the new clinical sites that you want to open. How are you going to select those, or do you have some specialized centers out there in the US, or can you just elaborate a bit on what are the specifications to opt for one or the other site, and how do you see the acceleration of the recruitment of the new patients? The second question is on the Bern agreement that you have at the University of Bern, where you showed that that Argenx 110 was able to overcome imatinib resistance in CML. Do you anticipate that the same mechanism is also going to work for other cancer, or is this something very specific for CML? Can you elaborate a bit on that? Thank you.
Thank you, Roderick, for the questions, and thanks for joining the call. In terms of expansion of centers, for Argenx 110 in T-cell lymphoma, we are expanding to 8 specialist T-cell lymphoma clinics. They're spread over Western Europe, countries which are getting involved are countries like France and Italy, where you have the top centers in Europe for T-cell lymphoma, in addition to the existing specialist centers which we have already on study. With regards to nasopharyngeal carcinoma in Argenx 110, we are working with the key referral center in Belgium here, which is the UZ Hospital in Ghent, with the possibility to expand to a second referral center in Europe. And for Argenx 111, we are expanding across Europe, but also into South Korea. More specifically, we are opening 3 clinical centers in South Korea for this very reason, that MED-amplified patients and GI cancers in general are more prevalent in the Far East as compared to the Western world. So we're going to work with 3 top-notch centers with leading KOLs in the field, and we believe that by expanding the studies across these clinical centers, we're on track to recruit the patients we want to recruit. With regards to your second question, the reason we're working with the Bern University actually is because these people started to unravel the CD70 biology. They have a great publication from 2012 showing unequivocally that CD70 is an immune checkpoint, and then taking a deep dive into leukemic stem cells and the resistance of leukemic stem cells against current therapies, which, as you know, is a very hot topic. And without preempting the ASH workshop, I can tell you that the importance of the CD70-CD27 pathway, as we have seen it in CML, seems to be equally valid in AML. And that is going to be supported by thorough data, which we will present for the first time at ASH.
Okay, thank you. Very clear.
Once more, as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question or make a comment, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. That's star and one. And your next question comes from the line of Jan de Kerpel from KBC Securities. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. Some of them have already been answered too, but just wanted to come back on Argenx 115. I know you're still evaluating, but what's the direction in oncology that you're currently thinking of, and could you give us some timing on when you think first patient studies could start? Building on what you just said in AML, where you're doing preclinical research, we understand that CML is a very specific has a very specific target, which could be blocked by Gleevec and the likes. But AML has sometimes or very often multiple reasons why it exists. So coming from different angles, could you elaborate a little bit on how you're tackling that these different angles? And then finally, the chief medical position seems to be open now. Do you plan to recruit this and to fill this in? And what kind of profile are you looking for over there? Thank you.
Yeah, so Jan, thank you for your questions and thanks for joining. The way we look at Argenx-115 is, for the moment, we think it could be a next-generation ipilimumab. So what we know is that in cancer therapy, immunotherapy is going to be the backbone of therapy, and especially the PD-1, PD-L1 pathway seems to be an essential cornerstone of that backbone. The key question becomes, in order to improve the spectacular effects, which we see now in a relatively limited number of patients, in order to improve that, with what do you combine a PD-1 or PD-L1 antagonist? We have all seen at ASCO the data of the combination between PD-1 and CTLA-4 EP, where it's clear that you're adding up the side effects of both drugs, but you also have the potential for improved efficacy. So the beauty of Argenx-115, for what we know today, is that GARP is a much more specific target when it comes to Treg expression as compared to CTLA-4, and therefore we should be able to get all the benefits of EP and maybe more with the potential of significantly reduced side effects. And that is going to be essential in combination therapy for cancer immunotherapy, dramatically improving further the overall survival benefit, but without adding further toxicity to your combination study. So that's how we think about it. We are going to initiate CMC activities before the end of the year, so that means that, roughly speaking, you're 2 years away from dosing your first patient. To then get to your question on the heterogeneity which you have in AML, it is true that currently the world in AML is looking at the disease at a genotypic level, and it shows a lot of diversity. The beauty is that regardless disease state and regardless genotype, it looks like the CD70, CD27 pathway is systematically involved. So here you have a different way of approaching AML, which could be quite game-changing. And again, we will disclose more of these data during the ASH workshop, but the biology sheds a unique light on how you could approach AML, especially in the bone marrow compartment on the stem cells. With regards to your last question, Jan, yes, we have decided jointly with Alain Thibault to separate paths. Needless to say that Alain, when he joined in 2012, when he was entering a preclinical company, has done a very important tour of duty. He helped this company taking Argenx-110 and Argenx-111 into clinical development successfully. He has also lined up Argenx-113 to be in pole position to enter the clinic. And he did play an important role, of course, in our IPO and the relationship with the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. This being said, his tour of duty has come to an end. We agreed to separate. For the moment, we work with four clinical experts in the company, two people which are specialized in T-cell lymphoma, one oncologist who is overlooking the other oncology activities, and one ex-Genzyme person who is specialized in severe autoimmune diseases. So the clinical front in this company is growing significantly. Whilst there is a search running, of course, in the background for a chief medical officer which can take this company to the next stage. And by the way, Jan, if you want to apply, you need to have a medical degree.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay, thank you.
There appear to be no further questions at this point. Please continue.
Okay, with this, what we really would like to do is thank you to join us in the call, to listen through this, what we hope to be a clarifying and detailed update of the half-year results, and we look forward to our next appointment with you when we announce further results for this company. Thank you all very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference call for this afternoon. Thank you very much for your participation. You may all disconnect.